Three, two, one.
What was your faith like before?
My faith in my early adult years was non-existent. I really didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I realized that I wasn't in control. I got on my knees and asked God for peace and grace and felt this incredible presence. I remember going through that whole process where I just had this sense of peace.
Well, welcome to our great spiritual campaign for Lent. I truly believe that God is getting ready to do some amazing things in our church through this campaign. Over the last few months, we have been building momentum, and now is the time to move forward. Now is the time to take the next step. Even though Lent begins this week on Wednesday, we wanted to get a little bit of a head start and lay the groundwork for you about this spiritual campaign. So today, I want to talk with you about the foundation of this campaign for Lent. In a nutshell, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I think that's the perfect place to start. That's the necessary place to start, because so often we can get lost in the weeds of our lives and forget why it is that we do the things that we do. Whether your life is going great right now and things are just popping, or you're struggling or hurting in some area of your life, we can become so engrossed in enjoying the blessings of life and so preoccupied with getting through the challenges of life that we can forget to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is always Jesus. You know, this can happen in church work as well. Every week, we bring you the best worship experience we can offer you. Countless hours are spent preparing relevant and inspiring homilies and messages for you that are thoroughly vetted by our team of volunteers. They review my homilies. It's a painful process, but it always comes out better. Our tech team every week, they prepare an engaging audiovisual experience for you. Our musicians and our lectors prepare thoroughly and they rehearse so that the Word of God will be proclaimed boldly and powerfully, and we bring you uplifting world-class music every weekend. Our hospitality team next door is getting ready right now, working hard to welcome you to our cafe with a special Valentine's Day tasty treats after this Mass. Our children's programs on Sunday mornings offer high-energy, interactive multimedia experiences for kids 3 and over to help them grow closer to Jesus and make Him the main thing in their lives. Our new nursery program right next door over here for kids under 3 offers a welcoming, safe, nurturing environment. We have lights and cameras and big video boards, and the fog machines are on order. Just kidding, I think. We have greeters out front. We have people at the welcome desk. We've got Eucharistic ministers who offer the sacrament to you every week with reverence. Every week, it's a huge lift to get what we call the weekend experience off the ground for you. And our team is among the best I've ever seen. In fact, we just recently received a Reader's Choice Award from the Marin IJ, a local newspaper here in Marin County, and I couldn't be more proud of our team. But at the end of the day, when all is said and done, we've got to remember it's all about Jesus. He is the main thing, and that has to be on the forefront of our minds always. He is at the heart of everything we do, every small group meeting we have, every ministry service we provide, every Mass we celebrate, every activity that takes place on this campus. And He is the center and the foundation of this spiritual campaign we are embarking on for Lent. Jesus is never irrelevant. In my experience, most people have a very strong reaction to the person of Jesus Christ. The response is rarely lukewarm or indifferent. For example, there are many people who walk away from the church for various reasons. They're sick of scandals. I don't blame them. They're tired of bad preaching. I don't blame them. They're tired of substandard music. I don't blame them. They're tired of unfriendly, unwelcoming environments. I don't blame them. It can be frustrating sometimes. Other people walk away from the church because they can't agree with certain teachings that the church offers. But I've never met anyone who has walked away from the church because they suddenly decided that Jesus is no longer relevant in their lives. There is always a strong reaction to the person of Jesus Christ. I've met many people who rarely, if ever, go to church, but they have a high regard for Jesus and find wisdom in his teachings. They see wisdom in his teachings, and even if they can't agree, they can't get their head around Jesus' claims for divinity, they still hold him in high esteem. That's a strong reaction to the person of Jesus. On the other end of the spectrum, I've met people who would never step foot in a church and have a strong negative reaction to Jesus, often because of the way they were brought up, or maybe they've run afoul of a few Christians in their lives who are overly judgmental or hypocritical or strident, whatever. Either way, Jesus is never irrelevant. He is the central figure of the human race and has been for over 2,000 years. And that's why he's the foundation of our spiritual campaign this Lent. He is the inspiration and the reason behind this great work you and I are about to do over the next 6 weeks to rebuild and strengthen our faith. There's no better place to get acquainted with Jesus than through the Word of God. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell the story of what Jesus did when he walked this earth. It is a great way to get to know who he is. And Mark is a great place to start because it's the shortest of all the Gospels. Even in the very brief encounter that we hear about in the Gospel passage from Mark today, we learn so much about the man Jesus. A leper came to Jesus to be healed. In fact, everyone was coming to him. They were flocking to him. They had heard about his power to heal. They were desperate to find a cure for their problems and illnesses. But among all the problems and illnesses and diseases of that day, leprosy was by far the worst. By far the worst. Leprosy was a dreaded disease of the skin that could lead to disfigurement, loss of limbs, and even blindness. There was no cure for it. There was no medicine that could even help. But worse yet, people with leprosy were forced to leave their homes and their families and live in colonies apart from mainstream society. They were not allowed to enter into the town or village. They were not allowed to worship in the synagogue or hold down a job, work at a job, or even beg in the marketplace. They had to scavenge for food on the outskirts of town like wild animals. It was a terrible, terrible disease. And Jesus encountered this man with this terrible disease, and he healed the man. This disease was so bad that you had to wear bells around your neck, as we heard in the first reading today. You had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," when someone else was around to warn them that you were in their vicinity. They were getting close to a person with leprosy. In short, leprosy was physically debilitating, socially isolating, and emotionally humiliating. And when the man with leprosy came to Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, he had so much faith in Jesus that he actually knelt down before him. He knelt down before him because he believed with all his heart that Jesus could heal him if he wanted to. And Jesus wanted to. He stretched out his hand, touched the man, and said, "I do will it. Be made clean." And the man was healed. Jesus willed it. He wanted to heal the man because the passage says he was moved with pity. He was filled with compassion for this man and his plight. It was a terrible situation he was in. Where others looked away, walked away, or turned away in disgust, Jesus entered into the pain. He embraced the pain. He connected with the pain that this man had. In the same way, Jesus sees all the unclean areas of our own lives. He knows our faults and our failings and our flaws more than anyone else. And yet, he isn't disgusted. He isn't angry. He doesn't reject us in our pain. He shows compassion for us even in our sinful state. He loves us. He stands by us as our friend. And he stands ready to heal us when we're ready to be healed by him. Jesus touched the man with leprosy. That was unheard of. If there was anybody around, they would have gasped in horror. And yet Jesus was not afraid. It was a gesture of love. He wanted the man to know that he was no longer alone, no longer a pariah, but a beloved son of God, forever part of his family. Wherever Jesus went, he cared for people in pain. He touched their hearts. He healed their souls. He cured their illnesses. He looked with love on people who were, you know, misguided or lost. He lifted up the downtrodden and the lowly. He showed compassion for the poor. He called the sinner out of darkness into Jesus' own wonderful light. He raised the dead to new life. He did so many wonderful things. He invited people who were weary and burdened by all the problems in life to find rest in him. Jesus challenged the status quo and those who were comfortable, people who were self-righteous, but he approached the humble with humility of heart. This is why we love Jesus, because he is loving and compassionate. But Jesus went even further in his love for humanity. He actually switched places with us. He traded places with us. After he healed the man in the gospel reading, Jesus warned him sternly not to tell anybody about what had happened, how Jesus had healed him. He wanted him to keep it on the down low, to keep it quiet. That's why he said, "Go show yourself to the priest in the temple in Jerusalem." Because the priest, under the law, had the power to declare the man clean. And there had been spontaneous healings. There had been cures in the past. It was rare. Sometimes it might have been a misdiagnosis. But anyway, if the man went to the temple and was declared clean by the priest, no one would have guessed that it was Jesus who had healed him. Jesus wanted to reveal his identity gradually and slowly over time, because otherwise the result would have been overwhelming. It would have been so overwhelming that he would have been thwarted in his ministry, because the rich and the powerful would have tried to take him down before his time had come. He would have been overrun with requests for help and healing, so much so that he would not be able to teach the crowds or to raise up and train new leaders from among his disciples. And yet the very thing that Jesus was trying to prevent is what happened. The man disregarded the instruction. He went around telling everybody how Jesus had healed him. And after that, Jesus was not able to enter a town or village in that area openly. He was stuck out in deserted places outside the village. Do you see the irony there? The man who was made clean of leprosy could go back home. He could go into the village. He could re-enter normal life. He could rejoin his family and his circle of friends. But now Jesus traded places with him. He's now on the outskirts of town. He's now in the deserted areas around the town. He traded places with the man. He healed the man, but at a tremendous cost to himself and his ministry. This is also why we love Jesus. Because he trades places with us. On the cross and in our lives, He takes on our darkness. He takes on our pain. He takes on our sin and shortcomings and disappointments and even our cruelty. He takes it all on himself. This is why we follow Jesus, because whenever we do, there is this great exchange, and we always come out better. Over the next few weeks of this series, we're going to begin to see more, we're going to begin to understand more fully the benefits, the blessings, and rewards of following Jesus. And we are going to begin to see more clearly this great exchange that takes place as we take a next step in our faith to grow deeper in our faith. This series is all about five steps, five proven steps we can take to grow in our faith. And there is always a blessing for us when we do. When we break out of our comfort zones and begin to serve other people, for example, we're the ones who are blessed with a greater sense of purpose and meaning and significance. It's a great exchange. When we tithe and give to God more generously, we're the ones who are blessed with a greater sense of peace, of knowing that God is our provider and He will always take care of us. When we engage in the Christian community and get more involved in the church, our burdens are lifted, our isolation is alleviated, our loneliness is eased. There's a great exchange. When we practice prayer and receive the sacraments more regularly, we're the ones who are blessed. In exchange, we grow closer to the Lord. We feel His presence and warmth in our life more fully. It's a great exchange. And when we take that last and perhaps scariest step of sharing our faith with other people, we're the ones who are blessed because we begin to see our own faith in fresh new ways. It's a great exchange. And so, I pray that you will give everything you have got to this spiritual campaign. Commit to watching this series if you're at home or coming every week. Commit to every episode of the series. Get the book. Even if you're not in one of our small groups, get the book. It's called Rebuilt Faith. You can find it on Amazon or Ave Maria Press. And pray over the discussion questions every week. And if you're not part of a small group yet, we're getting everybody together. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people sign up, and our team is working so hard. We've matched like 98% of the people. But we're keeping it open till midnight tonight, 11:59 p.m. It closes out. So this is your last opportunity. You know what to do. There's QR codes and links in the pews. There, you can get on our website, sthillary.org, talk to us at the welcome desk, talk to one of our hosts. We'll get you connected. But even if you don't, give everything you've got to this campaign. Because over the next 40 days, we are uncovering what matters most, our relationship with Jesus Christ. As our mission statement says, it's all about Jesus. It's about making Jesus matter to us and to everyone. Because He is the main thing. And we are all working together this Lent to make the main thing the main thing.